Death Star. That thing's operational.
Dr. Banner, now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
Hello and welcome to episode 122 of The Usual Podcast. Podcast, we discuss Star Wars: The Old Republic, the Star Wars franchise, and geek and pop culture. I'm your host, Marshall, and with me, as always, being quite special, is my co-host, Will. What's up, buddy?
What's up, peeps?
Wow. I'm going to gloss over that. And we're just sitting here enjoying our usual frosty beverages. What you drinking, dude?
I am drinking a fantastic Kraken and Coke.
What you're forgetting is we had a shot of Cap'n before that. And then, so, you know, here we are.
You know, going back to the movie Waiting, which I mentioned for like 3 straight weeks now, I think.
Okay.
There's this part where this total white trash guy comes in with his wife on their anniversary. And he doesn't let her speak at all. And he orders her a water and goes, wait, it's our anniversary. Make it a Coke. And then he orders, I'll take a double whiskey with a shot of whiskey. And
anyway, what am I drinking? So first of all,
what are you imbibing, dear sir?
I don't know. I've got a couple things. I haven't opened the other one yet. I'm feeling some pressure. What I'm finishing is Sierra Nevada's seasonal Hot Bullet double IPA, which I think, was I drinking that last week? It's hard to say. But also what I have in the, what do you call it? On deck.
On deck, yes.
On deck is from Drake's Brewing Company. It's a Jolly Roger Imperial Red Ale. Nice. And I'm pretty excited about this, dude. This is one I've not had, but I really like Drake's a lot.
Awesome.
So I'm excited to crack that bad boy open. And if you are listening and I feel lazy editing, you'll hear me literally crack it open.
Literally.
So, here we go. So before we get started, if you have comments or questions, you can find us at theusualpodcast.com. Email us at theusualpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook, Google Plus, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm at Darth Pops on Twitter, and Will is at I am Mo Griggs. Find us on your favorite podcatchers, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, etc. And give us positive ratings and like us. We did get another positive rating.
Wow.
One.
Nice.
And thank you for that 5-star rating from whoever did it. Didn't say who did it. It's hard to track those things, but hey, thank you for that. So we were stagnant for a long, long time. So if you want to give us a nice little uptick on iTunes, go ahead and contribute to that lone soul that did it from last week.
Don't let them hang. Don't leave them hanging out there alone.
I agree with you, but not how you said it, but it's fine. And I'm just kidding. And so also don't forget, as Will put in here in red bold letters, don't forget to get your Teespring gear from The Usual Podcast at teespring.com/usualpodcast. What do we have on there? T-shirts, stickers, some other stuff?
T-shirts and stickers right now.
Yeah, nice. We'll have some other stuff soon.
I've tried to add on an iPhone case, but it's weird. To add stuff in on Teespring, you've got to actually call them. It's weird.
That seems shady. So we do have timestamps in the show notes for non-SWTOR fans. We have very little SWTOR this week. It'll go very, very quickly. In fact,
we have very little everything.
Yeah, this show is going to be pretty light. So we'll be kind of in and out, as they say. Or
that's what she said.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. So thank you, everybody who's in the chat room. We'll do our best to watch chat and everything. There's a question about a bottle opener. Yeah, I do have a bottle opener.
Straight
from Comic-Con exclusive. Hand of the Queen from, kind of thing.
Factory Toys.
Yeah, from Factory Entertainment.
Factory Entertainment, yeah. Right.
And you'll hear it. It hasn't happened yet. I have another sip left. So what we did do before this show was trailer time. So again, we'll talk more about how to support the show later. But we did watch some trailers and stuff right before this. So thanks to everybody who stuck around with us. And that's a lot of fun to do. So,
you know, someone's asking for a usual podcast bottle opener. If I can print your face on one where it's your mouth opening it up, that would be awesome.
I would really get behind that.
Your ass.
You had to go there, didn't you? You really did. Anyway, yeah, it would be nice to have my face on a thing. Can we leave it at that?
Yeah.
So stupid. I knew you. Stupid face sometimes. Okay. Anyway.
Don't drop it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, here we are. Let's get to Star Wars The Old Republic, dude.
You want to fight? I'm ready.
You do not have to stand against me. Instead, I will share all of this with you if you will only kneel.
going back to what was previously stated, yeah, it makes more sense for us to have a bottle opener.
Yeah, because we're into frosty
beverages. I get it. You explain it to me after I'm talking about it makes no sense. But what I'm saying is, let's figure that out.
You make no sense.
All right, so Star Wars The Old Republic. Here we are, people. We are going to talk... We have very little SWTOR news. Before we get to our weeks in game, I wanted to give some love to some people out there. From the community. And that's really the, in my head, that's the biggest things that have gone on in Star Wars The Old Republic in the last few weeks. So, Krillian Run Radio at the top of the show. Let's put these guys out there. They celebrated their 200th episode. Sally, I was trying to listen to it earlier. I could not quite find the time to get to it today. But I want to give Krillian Run their best. They were the longest running SWTOR podcast up until their 200th episode.
200.
Heather and Rav joined them on the show. And as most of you have known, JT and Mox have kind of done that show and Passionately Casual. Right. And Passionately Casual, of course, is with Jesse and some other folks, which I'll talk about in a minute. And they've decided to stop doing Krillian Run Radio after all this time, which is... Which is fine, obviously, because a lot of those guys are going over to Passionately Casual. So, thank you, Krillian Run Radio. Obviously, I was listening to it way back in the day with Carla and Deirdre and all the original dudes, and it's
on Tour Wars.
Yeah, and it's a legacy that's ending. So it's pretty epic. So. Anyway,
one of the originals.
Yeah. So hats off to them. And their dulcet tones will continue over on, Passionately Casual, which is pretty cool. And for some reason, the link did not come through on, the next one.
Cause you screwed it up.
Well, I'll find it here pretty quickly. The next thing I want to talk about is Passionately Casual is, in light of that is kind of expanding a bit. And the cool thing is their latest episode, I don't think it's posted yet. They recorded it live. Let me find what I'm looking for here real quick. So they've added a couple people to the roster. One is, someone named Will, who I'm not as familiar with as some of the other folks on the thing. And it's not you. Let me find it. Yeah. So they've added Kid Lee to the roster, along with, Shadow, which is Larry Everett and someone named Will as well. So I did not get to tune into them live, but I want to say I love their show and love what they do, and I wish them all the best of luck. And although CRR is going away, Passionately Casual is an amazing show, so definitely check them out. And we have links in the show notes to them.
Yeah, there's some big shoes to fill, but it's their own shoes.
Yeah, so. Well, we all fill our own shoes. anyway. That said, I have really the wrong link in here.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Well, the links are all jacked up. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Jim from our guild, who is amazing.
Yes, she is.
She was at the cantina we were talking about, and Charles Boyd showed up,
right.
And some other folks. And so I put a link in the show notes. I got to fix the links, apparently. But they put some links up from some pictures from the cantina, was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw some of them. They were cool.
Yeah, and there was a tweet that went out that said, due to weather, they may not be doing it. And I was kind of confused by that because then the pictures and stuff showed up. So I don't know if they thought maybe they were going to cancel it. I haven't been able to touch base with them in the meantime. But it is what it is. But I love our community. And even when there's very little news, there's always something going on in Unholy Alliance, Wookiee Mistake, or in the wider reaches of our podcast crews and influencer group and all that. So
wider?
What did I say?
You said wider. Whiter?
Yes, the whiter. Yeah. I'm 90% sure I'm one of two black people in this thing.
Probably.
Devin, I'm thinking of you, buddy. All right. So anyway, man. Well, honestly, right?
That's right.
Am I wrong?
No.
I know there's other black people. I'm being facetious, but it's very fine. Facetious. All right, man. So what'd you do in game this week, man?
I actually, I just logged in a couple of times. I did a couple of, Planetary Heroic, stuff like that. But I took advantage of the cartel sale going on right now.
No, you did.
And I bought my first ever Hypercrete.
12 years later, but I'm just kidding. What'd you get? You get anything good?
I actually haven't opened it up all the way, but
save a couple to sell for later. That's what I always do.
I got the Vice Commandant Hyper Crate. It's normally $7,200 or $7,200 coins. It was on sale at 55% off, so I got it for $3,240.
Oh, that's a really good deal.
Great deal.
Nice.
So yeah, awesome.
Yeah. So what I always do when I buy Hyper Crates is I save five.
Okay.
I save five to open and or save like months later in case something really rare comes up.
Yeah.
You know, I'll slap them up there and I can get a pretty good price for them. So you know, that's my suggestion, but you know, there's always some good stuff in there. So
cool. I've opened them all, but I haven't gone through the stash yet.
Oh, I see.
Basically what I'm doing is I'm sorting them out like, okay, well, here's all the emotes. Here's all the titles. And,
I see what you're saying.
And so basically I'm going on my main, pulling out what I have. And if I don't, then I can get it to, yeah. So
word. All right, man. I did not get in the game this week. It's been crazy. I worked a ton
it's been
last
a busy week.
Week
for you.
Last week I worked both my jobs a ton and I'm actually pretty beat, which I'm kind of glad the show's kind of short this week. But I'm hoping to kind of, hit my stride again. And honestly, man, which we forgot to talk about at the top of the show, hopefully people are sticking around with us, but, our 3-year anniversary is like this month.
Yeah. Actually, I looked up our first episode got posted January 31st.
Yeah. So we are getting pretty close. I think it's a little late to try to do a thing. But it's pretty cool, man. We're 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
Really awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been thinking about.
Big news this week is I finally got internet.
Oh, thank God.
I have my own internet, and I'm running about 70 to 75 Mbps, mm-hmm. and it's going pretty good.
I'm proud of you, buddy. I really am.
It's nice.
Thanks, chat room. Yeah, no, 3 years, it's been... It went by pretty quick, but also I'm actually pretty stoked. This will be our third year of the Puck Cantina in San Diego.
It's going to be my sixth year Comic-Con, your seventh?
Something like that.
Or sixth and fifth.
I think sixth and five.
One of the other.
Yeah, well, one
how
of
many
the
badges
two.
You got here?
I don't know. Like I said, we have a ton of stuff that we've been doing.
Seven, eight.
Oh, Shaggy's got... Sorry, my bot's up, I guess. Someone got night-botted. Sorry. If you weren't spamming, it's okay. I apologize, Shaggies. But anyway, so we've done a lot in the last 3 years. The show's changed a lot. We've kind of been there. But the thing that I like about this show is that we just kind of keep rolling.
Rolling. What?
We just kind of keep rolling, and we do what we love to do. We talk about what we love to talk about. And whether we have spinoff shows or not spinoff shows, or, you know, we do special shows from cantinas and stuff like that. Yes. We've been through a lot, and the two of us have been through a lot in the last 18 years of knowing each other.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I love what we're doing, and we plan to keep doing this
almost
every week.
Almost 19 years.
Yeah.
This July will be 19 years.
Long time, man. Yeah. Boo Nightbot. Sorry, buddy. Whatever you're gonna say, I don't know what it was. Was it a
said piece of cake? Oh no, he did an emote of a piece of cake.
Oh, I see. Sorry about that. I'll change those settings at some point. Anyway, oh, he was giving us a congratulations, so thank you.
Thanks, Shaggies.
All right, let's get to some news, which is like two stories. We had maintenance on the 12th. That happened. It was back end stuff. There was an issue with PvP leaderboards not updating. Hopefully they'll figure that out here pretty quick.
I don't think they've ever figured out PvP leaderboards.
I don't know. But there's a Kuat Drive Yards bug, that I thought was fixed. And until I saw this, I guess it wasn't. It had to do with when you go into Kuat Drive Yards with a group, if anybody space bars, it bugs.
Really?
And you can't finish it. And,
that blows.
Yeah. And so the dev post on it was basically, they're hoping to get it fixed in 5.7, which is coming up pretty quick. So, let's see what else we got. There was some proof of another bug, in Hypercrate. So there was a bug where, like, if you have phase walk ability and you have it outside the bunker when the bomb goes off,
right?
Even if you're inside the bunker, you die.
Are you serious?
I think it's what I'm gleaning from this. I read the post, and that's kind of what I'm getting from this. He says, video proof, finally, death inside the bunker, even though I was inside the bunker.
Right.
And it had to do with the phase walk being outside. So, you know, that is what it is. So hopefully they'll get that fixed here pretty quick. The thing I put in here, and this is really not 100% SWOTOR related, but it's a discussion topic I think is worth talking about.
Yes.
Because we run in circles of a lot of other streamers, a lot of other podcasters, and people that post things on YouTube.
Yes.
And YouTube changed their standards.
Yeah, in light of the whole Logan Paul thing.
And that had to do with the guy who somebody filmed killing himself, right?
No.
Or a dead body or something. Yeah, okay. Like that.
Logan Paul is a guy who had actually posted new videos for like 400 consecutive days.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him because I think he was one of the people that ran on the season of Amazing Race that had to do with online stars.
Okay.
But basically, he was in this forest in Japan, which is called Suicide Forest.
Suicide Forest, yep.
Because a lot of people go there to hang themselves.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
And he, totally out of line, recorded a video and posted it of him standing by the dead body.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how disrespectful can you be?
No, and I had heard about this, and like I thought I had the same thought. But what it comes down to is YouTube has decided to put some pretty strict regulations on who they're paying, basically, and how their partnership program works, right?
Yeah.
So
one of the new things that they did is that you have to have 1,000 new members in the next 30 days, right?
Okay, so I have it right here. It says the channel announced earlier this week a new revenue sharing program that requires streamers and content creators to accumulate 4,000 hours of video watch time for their videos over the past 12 months.
Right.
That's one. For that matter, they also need a minimum of 1,000 subscribers in order to continue forward.
Right, but I think it's 1,000 new subscribers.
It just says a minimum of 1,000 on this post, okay. But I don't know 100%. And I don't know every nuance of this, but I also know that some of our friends who are content creators have posted this in our chats and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and have been pretty upset about it. And I get it, you know, I totally get it. If this was your revenue stream and all of a sudden YouTube's like, well, you don't have enough subscribers, so now
you get no revenue.
Yeah. Now we're not paying you anymore. So that sucks, dude.
Yeah. It's definitely a pain.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can kind of understand it from their point of view, but the thing is the people that are going to create the most impact with that are the people that have the millions of followers, like Logan Paul.
Yeah. But what's interesting is they put up a couple tweets in this post, and it says, well, thank you, YouTube. You've now just screwed over the small creators even more. We don't get fed in the algorithm now that pushes videos without monetization options, etc. So, and really, this is kind of I don't know, I hate to say it, a mirror for, you know, small business versus, you know, the big businesses, you know, box stores and stuff like that. It's like the small guys aren't going to get the revenue stream that they're hoping for because
I can see it from that point of view.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because of something that someone on the top did.
Yeah, YouTube might be. Akadu says in the chat that it might be a dead brand, but it's owned by Google, so it's like it's not going to go away.
Indeed. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this shakes out. Again, this is, fairly recent. This just was announced, a day or two ago. So anything else SWOTOR related you want to talk about before we get out of here?
I mention about a Hypercrate?
Yeah, you did. But one of the things I wanted to bring up that I think is interesting is that we do have a roadmap coming.
Yes.
We do have, some announcements coming.
Keith said he was going to be getting it by the end of the month, right?
We'll see. I'd say end of this month, early next month. But what I think is interesting is we're going to find out if they are going to have an expansion pack this year, I hope. I think it's time if they're going to do another X-Pack, level increase, that kind of stuff. But we'll see. We're going to get more companions. I know that from the announcement.
Nice.
And, other than that, man, we talked last week a little bit about what we were hoping for, but I'm really, 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 really hoping for some more quality of life things and some other stuff. And I know this is a pie in the sky kind of thing, but I really would like some new events. I really would like.
I love events. They're having the same three over and over again
Yeah. Look. Some people might, new players and some other folks might be doing Bounty Hunter Contract Week.
Well, but, you know, I keep forgetting when it's on.
Yeah.
Because I still have a whole bunch of achievements I need to do for it.
Yeah. And I'm with you, dude. But honestly, I think a level increase and a full-on X-Pack. At least one more would be good. But new events, in my head, would be ideal. Along with, if they're going to keep with the Flashpoint story, go with that. But some quality of life stuff and things like that, I think, are important for this year. Especially with all the talk of possible other games and this game going away. I don't think it's going to go away in the next couple of years. But I also don't want to get to where they're not updating content all
exactly.
year. So, all right, guys. Yeah, people seem excited. Where we're at. Where's Mako? Shocking, Matt. You're very predictable. I'm glad you're in the chat, man. All right, so we are going to get to Star Wars now. And we don't have a whole lot, but I think we'll get off onto some tangents as we always do.
Probably.
Are you blaming me? Is that what's happening?
I didn't say you, but you automatically went there, so you must have a guilty conscience.
I'm going to play the trailer now because I'm mad at you.
I was raised to do one thing. But I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
So right when I play the trailer, or the trailer, the bumper, Actu said in the chat, he said, bring back the one they only did once.
The Grand Acquisition.
Yeah, Grand Acquisitions Raised. And I really like that one.
I only was able to play that for one day because I got into it late.
But the thing is, man, is so many people like that event. But I'm still not 100% sure why they don't bring it back. But
yeah, it was so weird.
I mean, they bring back Rakul and everything else. Obviously, there's dailies and stuff attributed with it. But, I mean, bring it back. What's the harm?
Yeah,
even if it's for a week, what does it matter?
So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
They kind of said in the beginning when that one came out, it was a one-off. And I was like, wow, that was like, what, 2 years into the game? And they were like, done
if that.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
what do we got?
We actually, like I said, don't have a whole bunch of Star Wars news. One thing that came out that was kind of interesting this week is this week's issue of the Star Wars comic book. It had to do with Han and Luke and Leia. They were off on a mission. Because, you know, it takes place between, right now they're between A New Hope and Empire.
Mm.
And they run into a character from Jedha.
Okay.
And it turns out it was somebody who was supposed to be part of the Rogue mission, the Rogue One mission.
Oh, interesting.
But they end up being ill and couldn't go on the mission or whatever. Now she regrets not because she was a friend of Jyn Erso's.
Yeah.
And now she regrets not being able to be part of that. And so what's kind of cool is, in this issue, I'll bring it up really quick. It actually deals with how Luke deals with the aftermath of the Rogue One mission.
Interesting.
Right? And because his story of how he got in and how Jyn Erso kind of got in are kind of similar. You know, mm-hmm. somebody who came out of nowhere to be asked to join the rebellion. And so on the main page, it says, Luke says, I've been thinking about Jyn and the rest of Rogue One, how many things went wrong for them. And says, and Rogue One took whatever steps they needed. People making distractions, sacrificing themselves, amping up the signal, all improvised, this chain of sacrifice, all leading to me taking that shot.
Wow. And
he said, I'm glad I didn't know. I have no idea what I've done with all that extra pressure. I mean, I even turned off the targeting computer. And the person says, you did what?
Well,
but it's exactly true. It's like if he knew about all of the sacrifice that had actually happened before he joined.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even reference the fact that Rogue Five was shot down.
Right.
Which has allowed him to be Rogue Five.
What's interesting about that actually is whenever I show A New Hope to my students, one of the things I point out to them, I said, could you imagine? If you're in the command center, right, and your only hope lies in this kid who is now leading the X-Wing fighter group, and he turns off his targeting computer,
right?
I said, you would be like, well, we're done. You would automatically be like, and that's why the one guy's like, hey, Luke, we've noticed you've turned your targeting computer off.
I think it was General Madeen, yeah, right?
Is everything okay? And he's like, yep, I'm fine. And they're like, well, we're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's red. It's red. He's pointing out it's not Rogue. It's red in New Hope.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But anyway, point is it's one of those moments where it's like, well, we're screwed. We're done.
Exactly.
Thanks for screwing us over. Thankfully, he made the shot, and now he can reflect back on it in this comic, which I think is
exactly.
funny.
Exactly.
That's a trip, dude. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting little story.
I also like that they're connecting those things.
Absolutely. You know?
I think that's cool.
We have a little bit of news about The Last Jedi, obviously, because, you know, it's still, you know, doing gangbusters.
Sadly, it's not here anymore because I can't see it. But
Rian Johnson came out to kind of give an explanation of why he didn't focus any more story time or screen time to the Knights of Ren or the Snoke backstory.
Yeah.
And I thought he had two very good points on these. Is he just didn't feel he had a good place to stick the Knights of Ren in there. He said he could have put them in place for the Praetorian Guard.
Right.
But he knew that all the Praetorian guards had to be killed.
Right.
And he didn't want to kill off the Knights of Ren. So he kind of just left them out there in the ether for whoever's going to do nine to say, if you want to tell more about it, that's fine.
And there were a bunch of stories. Rian Johnson, obviously, been talking to some people. Oh, thanks, actors, for the cheer there. But it's interesting because there were some other stories about his decisions to do various things. One being the Praetorian Guard. Right. One being Canto Bight. The other one, Broom Boy at the end.
Right.
There was a bunch of stories that kind of came out. And we obviously are not going to highlight every single one of them, but he's out there talking. And not that he's like out there like saying, well, I had to, you know, I did this. He's not defending himself. He's like, right. This is the decision that I made. Right. Yes. And I actually like the, Knights of Ren not being in 8.
Right, yeah.
Because I think it's kind of nice that JJ can come back and tell that story now.
Exactly. Plus, I mean, the whole point of 8, I think, was Kylo putting on his big boy pants.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have a bully crowd behind you, it's not that same thing.
Indeed.
And going over to Snoke, my biggest thing with this is I like that they didn't tell the backstory.
I honestly don't care.
Yeah, well, Johnson's main point is that for them to have thrown a 30-second monologue in there to tell the backstory of it would have just slowed the scene with the Praetorian guards or whatever down. But the thing is, I look back, it's like in the original trilogy, what did we know of the Emperor?
Nothing.
You knew his name by the end.
Yeah.
But you had no idea where he came from.
Yeah.
We didn't find all that out until the prequels.
The prequels is where we found about the Emperor. So again, it didn't matter. And I didn't care. Like, it was some guy came to power, had some force powers, obviously some pretty cool force power.
Right.
Manipulated Kylo Ren and died because of it. And this is a very Sith-like way of death.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, okay, your apprentice kills you. That's how this goes.
It's how it's supposed to go.
It's how it's supposed to go. That's the rule of two.
Yeah.
You know? So without actually saying, this is the rule of two, this is why I'm killing you.
Exactly.
He got caught up in his own, you know, monologue or whatever was going on and died. And that's just the way it is, you know? Any other thoughts from the chat room? What do we got? Snoke backstory?
I would like to see a Snoke backstory in a book, but it's the same point though. Is it like
it's like what they did with Palpatine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You get more of his story in the prequels, but also in Plagueis and stuff like that.
Right.
So Last Jedi has been pulled for almost all theaters in China.
So I saw this, and then I started to read the story, and then I saw they already had it in here. What's going on?
The article is actually very interesting, and I never thought about it. In the 70s, China was very strict on what was allowed into its country.
Okay.
And so there was no base of fan ownership in the original trilogy.
Sure.
Okay. So...
But in the meantime, we've had the prequels.
Right, but Star Wars has never been that popular in China.
I suppose.
So... they have made less than $50 million in all of China.
50?
Yeah, that's it. But thing
that means
is,
nobody's going to the movie.
Right. Well, the thing is Rogue One only made 69. And
really?
And Force Awakens made, I think, 80-something.
Huh.
It's just that China does not buy into
Star
Wars.
They're not Star Wars fans.
Exactly.
Well, that sucks. Nice boy.
And now that you think about that, it's like that is the reason why Force Awakens didn't catch up to Avatar and Titanic worldwide.
Because China was behind them.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's actually really interesting. That's a really, really interesting thing to think about. If China's not in,
you lose your worldwide.
Globally, you're not gonna get the numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it still made 1.
No, they whatever. Did fine. Yeah, I mean, look, they did all right. But I mean, let's not get carried away.
Yeah, but they didn't do the 2.2 or whatever of Avatar.
Exactly.
This one I found really interesting.
What?
Evidently, there's a guy who does like chauvinist cuts of movies, where he takes out all the main female characters.
I did see this. Yeah.
Whatever. And so,
I didn't watch it, but
like in this one, he cut Holdo out completely.
Really?
Doesn't even exist. It's Poe that sacrifices himself on the ship. Leia gets killed by Kylo.
So chauvinist cuts, meaning he takes out the women in some level?
Yes.
Okay.
He made it to the Praetorian Guard scene. Kylo is the one kicking ass, and Rey struggles to beat one.
Interesting.
And the thing is so someone did the cut, and some woman tweeted about it, and just all she did was just laugh. It was like, ha, 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 ha. And then Rian Johnson replied to it and goes, oh, and let me add my stuff. Ha, 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 ha. So it was pretty funny. It's just, but the thing is like, he, the guy who does it, actually came up with a list of the things that he did. The editor of the film, which is uploaded by the account, is called The Chauvinist Cut. It's merely 47 minutes long, and it has no whiny, reluctant, murderous psycho Luke, no Haldo. Leia never scolds, questions, or demotes Poe.
Oh my god.
Leia dies, Kylo kills her. Kylo is more badass and less conflicted. Kylo takes on more Snoke's guards. There's no bomber heroism by China Girl in the beginning. There's no Canto Bite, no superpowered Rey, no Luke semi-force ghost, and he gets shot by the laser cannon.
Oh, interesting.
Phasma gets...
So Finn gets killed by the laser cannon, is that what you're saying?
No, Luke.
Oh, Luke. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Phasma is finished after the first blow by Finn, because women are naturally weaker than men. So, and she isn't force sensitive, and we know nothing about her exoskeleton.
Oh, that's funny.
The Asian chick speaks less, doesn't believe Finn. This is me quoting them. I'm not saying.
No, of course,
Asian
of course.
Chick.
So what's the point of these cuts? For humor?
No, I think.
Or is he just a jerk?
I think he's a misogynist. So he's just.
Well,
a jerk.
That's nice. But it's actually kind of, it's interesting. There's, you know, because there has been a lot of flack around, not a flack, but The Force Awakens, people are upset, and in this movie and in Rogue One, you know, that obviously we're giving women, people of color, a lot
center stage,
right? So now that we're doing that, of course there's going to be some people that are, you know, probably not saying anything, but aren't super stoked about it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they want their, you know, typical blonde hair.
Well, and you
farm boys
remember the whole
the
backlash
show.
When the very first image we got from any trailer from Force Awakens was a black stormtrooper.
Right. Oh my god, that was insane!
Remember that?
That
remember
was
how
crazy
vivid that argument was?
Yeah, and how the uproar of like, oh my god, how can we have a black stormtrooper? It's like, well,
all stormtroopers are white.
If you know anything about Star Wars, then it's a thing.
I mean, hello, the original clone was Maori.
Yeah. And they don't know what that is.
No.
All right. So anyway, what do we got? Blu-ray stuff.
So they've started to announce what the Blu-ray of Last Jedi is going to entail. It doesn't give any dates yet, but it looks like it's going to be 3 discs. So it means it's going to have quite a few features. I mean, one's going to be Blu-ray, one's probably going to be regular DVD, and then a bonus disc of features. But it looks like the Target version is going to have an extra scene or something. Oh, no. It comes with a 40-page booklet.
Oh.
But the one at Best Buy is going to come in a steel case.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's kind of badass.
That'll be kind of cool.
That's cool.
And the also,
they're really trying to actually sell physical deals of
yes.
this. That's the problem.
And the 4K version is going to be available at Best Buy.
Cool.
That's it. So right, it's just that there's different things coming out. There's still no date. But yeah. I would guess probably right around the time Solo comes out. So you're looking at April, May.
Yeah, April-ish. All right. Last thing here.
Yeah, last thing is evidently rumors abound that there has been a sneak showing of Solo.
Oh, okay.
To
I was wondering where you got
some
this
audience. And generally positive reaction.
Good.
Which is very interesting because there's been such a bubbling below the surface in the industry that Disney is very worried that this is not going to come off.
Well, and I'm stoked that if they did do this and there is a positive reaction, that means that Ron Howard came in and did what he needed to do. And the fact that they can, if this works, that means they can go back and work on some of these other things if they wanted to. You know what I mean? I'm hoping they don't. I don't want to, like I said, I've been very adamant. I don't want to see a Boba Fett film, but I also don't really want to see the only young something film I want to see is the Obi-Wan movie. That's the only one I right. think that they have enough there and enough context around to be able to pull off a really cool film if they did it.
Nice segue, because this week Nerdist came out and said that that actually Solo is doing a few reshoots this month.
Oh, really?
Very minimal.
Okay.
But they are hypothesizing that Ewan McGregor has been pulled in to shoot a couple scenes as Obi-Wan.
Oh, interesting.
Because
God, how stoked would
you be? A couple of things. Why? They made three main points. The first point is that when Nerdist did a marathon of all the movies before Jedi came out, he showed up at 3 o'clock in the morning to introduce Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, that's amazing.
So he's insinuating himself back in the fandom.
Yeah.
He posted some Instagram photos of him working out to get back in shape. So whether that's him for getting ready for Kenobi or what.
Or some other role or something.
Right. Yeah, because if Kenobi's going to be the 2020. So if it's going to be the 2020 film, he's got to start getting in shape now.
Exactly.
But the third point, which I really like, was that, they pointed out that, well, obviously, Kenobi didn't know Solo in A New Hope. Because right. when they meet in the thing.
Yeah.
But in the little tiny cut scene before they meet, he looks friendly with Chewbacca.
Yeah. He's kind of talking to him like, hey, what's up, buddy?
Exactly. Yeah. So it seems they're hypothesizing that Kenobi knew Chewbacca, and that is how we're going to get him into this.
Right. Yeah. He was, and who knows how long he'd been at the bar talking to Chewie or if he had known him before, but they did seem pretty friendly.
Well, we already know from episode 2. And also the Clone Wars.
Chewie was around.
That Chewie was around and fighting alongside Yoda.
Yeah. So
he was right near Yoda with when Order 66 happened. Right.
And so on a base level, at least he knew of Chewbacca. Yes. Whether he knew him personally or not.
Exactly.
I gotcha. And he's probably like, hey, Clone Wars, right? What a cluster.
Exactly.
I like that I said that. That made me happy. Are you not with me?
Says Skeen says they had to delete the scene where Potsy and Ralph steal the Falcon from Han. No Happy Days cameos. Get it because of Ron Howard. All right.
All right, man. Should we get to the last section?
Yeah, last section.
I can't imagine any kind of future where I'm a hero.
Well, you're not.
In the future, none of you are heroes. You're legends.
Okay, so usual roundup time, dude. Let's get into some sad news.
Sad news. You take the first one.
The first one is Doctor Who and Flash Gordon actor Peter Wingard has passed. And what was he in Doctor Who? I don't even know.
I don't know Doctor Who, but he was the...
He said his role is Jason King on Doctor Who and Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I don't know that, but
he was 90 years old.
The who did Austin Powers? Mike Myers.
Yeah,
he was Mike Myers' inspiration for Austin Powers.
Crazy. Yeah, Wingard. I wasn't as familiar with him, but I thought it was worth noting considering I'm a Doctor Who fan. And you know he was in Flash Gordon. This is one of those things where he led a very big life. Obviously, let's see. He did not come out as gay until later. There's some other stuff poorly documented. Let's see, leading Doctor Who. He first appeared in the 1960s, but he reinvented the character. The appearance and identity of Jason Wingard, named for Wingard and Jason King, for the X-Men's first confirmation with the Hellfire Club in 1970.
Oh, interesting.
So, there's a lot more, obviously, here. Than
he was also in The Prisoner. He was in the original The Saint, I think.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So, basically, he was a character actor from British television from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, for sure. So, bucket
this,
of wind, exactly.
This one just killed me.
Yeah, this one's hard.
I'm still am a huge fan of the Cranberries.
Same here.
And I think Dolores O'Riordan just had one of the best voices of the 90s.
Yeah.
And she passed away at the age of 46. It killed me. She was only 4 years older than I was.
I know, right? And so that said, did they ever say what?
No, they haven't. They haven't announced, but she's been very depressed lately. Mm-hmm. Evidently, she was bipolar, I think. So it could be suicide. It could just be over medication.
I love the Cranberries, man. It was one of my favorite 90s groups. But
I know. Dreams, Linger.
Yeah, Linger was great.
So good.
So, all right, so real reviews time, dude. TV. Let's talk about Black Mirror. There's a reason we have this weird picture sitting up on our feed right now.
Yeah. So if you've heard us at all over the last couple of years, we're both big Black Mirror fans.
Yeah.
I actually haven't been able to watch. I just haven't chosen to watch anything since season two.
Yeah.
Actually, I watched the Christmas episode as well. So I haven't watched season three or four. But you challenged me last week to watch.
Got it.
To watch the first episode of season four, which is USS Callister. And we talked about it last week because there's rumblings that there might be a spinoff. And
And I told you to watch it because it's insanely brilliant.
It is very brilliant.
And
so if you haven't watched it yet, spoilers.
Yeah, I'll give you, give us a few minutes if you have not watched Black Mirror, the first episode of the latest season. Sorry, chat room. I don't want to spoil too much. Honestly, I want to do light spoilers, but I really just want to talk about it really quickly because honestly, Black Mirror, I think is one of the more innovative and well-written shows on television.
Yes.
And it is. So, for example, I mean, I like anthology stuff. I like where it's a one-off deal. You get this vision of the world. Right. It's like reading a short story.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people compare it to Twilight Zone. I think it's more Outer Limits myself, but
well, for me, it's more just like, and like I said, it's more like a short story. It's like, okay, I'm going to read this, I'm going to get a vision of the world, and then I'm going to go away.
Right.
And the best part for me is that they're all dystopias.
Yes.
It's there's something crappy that has happened because
it's a broken future.
Yeah, of some piece of technology, right? So in this first episode of the season, really what it comes down to is they've developed a video game technology where you it's kind of like VR, where you're fully immersed and you're in this world that you create, right? And
actually, I would say it's probably more fully immersed AR.
Yeah, good point. It's dark.
Very dark.
And it does not go the way you think. But the cool part about this episode is it's a bit of a playoff of Star Trek.
Very much so.
And shows like that came out at the time.
Orville.
And the Orville and everything else.
And we were talking about how there was an episode of Orville that reminded us of Black Mirror.
Exactly. And so what I like about this is it doesn't go the way you think, but it does have a very Star Trek-y feel with a mix of dystopian kind of corporate BS. Like they're essentially like any other big business. Two people started it. One guy is the persona and the other guy is the geek that's in a corner.
Hello, Westworld.
Yeah. It's kind of like Westworld in that way too.
Speaking of Westworld, we mentioned this last week because Jimmy Simpson is in this and he played the young William.
Exactly.
In Westworld. So, and he was phenomenal in this.
He was really good in this.
Especially in the second half of the episode.
Oh, yeah. When it came down to where, what was really going on, we're really trying not to spoil things. So, sorry, guys.
When it really came out to what was really going on, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
What I love is one of my favorite people is Kristen Milioti, who played the mother in How I Met Your Mother. She was on Broadway in Once. She played a really funny character in an episode of 30 Rock. She's just phenomenal. And she was really good in this. And honestly, if they do a spinoff and she's the main, she can totally pull it off.
Yeah. And I really hope. So what we want to do, what I'm imploring everybody to do.
Go watch it.
Watch this episode. If you don't like, even if you've not watched any of the Black Mirror.
You don't need to.
You don't need to. They're anthologies. They stand alone. So watch this one and actually watch, what is it? Episode 2 of season 1 is my personal favorite. But this one is a close second.
That's the 15 million credits.
Yeah, exactly.
I like White Bear, which is, I think, second episode of season 2.
That one's good, too. There's a ton of good ones, but definitely.
I was talking to my brother.
Yeah.
And he loves the last episode of season 1, which is The History of You,
where it records that one's good. Yeah.
Your entire life.
Oh, yeah, man. I like that one. So definitely watch it.
Watch the whole thing.
And the only reason I bring it up is because there was a lot of buzz about it on social media, and it being the first episode of the season, it's a really strong start. I have not watched the rest of the season yet, but I can't wait.
For a bunch of Golden Globes. It's going to be cleaning up at the Emmys. It's
exactly.
Very, very good.
Cool. Let's move on.
So how many of us are Bad Boys fans?
I love Bad Boys.
Okay. So, you know, it being Michael Bay and his genius.
Why is it still there? No, go ahead.
But if you remember, I believe Martin Lawrence has a sister in the second one, played by Gabrielle Union.
Yeah,
Gabrielle Union. And she's a DEA agent, and she has a thing with the Will Smith character. They are doing a spinoff television show. It's been ordered to pilot.
This is crazy.
And it's going to be on NBC, and it's going to follow her, where she has left the DEA, and she is now part of the LAPD.
That's interesting.
The thing is that
I like Gabrielle Union, though.
Yeah, oh, I love Gabrielle Union. The interesting thing is that she lives in Cleveland now because she's married to Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be kind of interesting them living on different parts of the country to do filming. But I think it's kind of interesting because they can always pull in Will Smith if they.
Oh, they could. Can
pull him in for an episode or so.
Easily. So we'll keep an eye on that. J.J. Abrams is working on a new sci-fi series. Okay.
Right.
And this will be his first one that he's developed since Fringe.
Pure sci-fi. Right?
Pure sci-fi.
He did Lost as well. And that lasted a little bit longer.
Well, he's done a bunch of things, Alias and some other stuff. But
right. Felicity.
And Felicity. But we don't know anything about it.
No, there's no word yet at all.
But he's pitching something.
Yeah, honestly, if I were putting my money on something, he's probably trying to pitch a companion show to Cloverdale.
Yeah. I imagine.
He's really trying to explore the, because he hasn't, they're calling it the Untitled Cloverfield Project or something, but it's due out in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't have a title.
Well, and I think that's interesting. I didn't think about that, but yeah, that's probably more accurate. He does mention the fact that he is, was not anticipating going back and doing more Star Wars, but now that he is, It is what it is, but when he's done with that, I think that's what this will be his next project.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So tell us about Jumanji.
So Jumanji, which unfortunately I didn't get to see.
It is funny as all get.
And
Jack Black is hilarious.
I really wanted to see that film, man. I have a lot of my students were talking about it and they were really enjoying it. I really wanted to see it, but it passed Justice League at the global box office.
Which I can, this week. The Rock has an incredible reach.
Of course he does.
He's great. Kevin Hart is a big pull.
Yeah.
Jack Black
is it's not pull. Really necessarily surprising. I kind of put this in here just so we can talk about Jumanji.
The thing is Jumanji didn't premiere number one. It premiered number two behind Last Jedi.
Right.
But it has won the last 3 weeks, and it's probably going to win this weekend.
Well, good on him. That's good. Yeah, I'll have to wait until it comes out to watch it, but...
it's sold our theater as of tonight. I don't know if it's going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's already Thursday. So
well, because they're going to be we're finally getting the Shape of Water tomorrow. So.
Right, so it'll probably be gone, but no big deal. I'll check it out when I can. But I was really intrigued by the film. I really like the idea that they took a video game approach to it. You know, because before it was board games, we were like board games. So anyway, I really want to see it. All right, so you have the next thing has to do with casting.
Yeah, I had no idea. They started filming this week on a new horror film that I had not heard of, and now I'm totally intrigued. And what it is they are doing a new Ted Bundy biopic, right?
Oh, are they?
Yes, and it is going to be starring Zac Efron as Ted Bundy.
Oh,
and they released a photo today, and it looks creepy. So I think he's a better actor than most people give him credit for. And
I don't think I really want to see this movie.
The name of the movie is called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. And I'm on board because, you know me, I love serial killer movies.
No, I know you do. I know you do.
And Ted Bundy is just one of those really interesting ones.
Right.
Because he was utterly charming.
Well, I hear you. I don't think I'm going to watch that
movie. The last real Ted Bundy movie that I remember was back in the 80s. They did a movie, and I think it was called A Stranger Among Us. And it was Mark Harmon playing Ted Bundy.
I remember the title of that, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, I'm not going to see it.
Of course not.
But here we are. So can we talk Riverdale for a minute?
Yeah, tell me about Riverdale.
So Riverdale, dude. Riverdale's freaking good.
That's what I hear. This season is getting good.
And this season, I think the first season was I don't want to say predictable, and it really wasn't predictable, but there wasn't really any other ways it could have gone. This season, they're throwing a lot more twists and turns. I honestly thought the last episode we watched was the end of the season for some reason. I was like, wait, no, there's no way.
It was the end of the season. It was a mid-season
finale. So it was really a really strong start to the season. You got some shifts in characters. You got to deal with all these things. I actually really enjoy the show. So that said, there has been talk of Sabrina, which is in that universe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sort of crossing over, but there's no plans yet of a crossover. But they are going to spin off sort of, I guess Archie. Right. Into Sabrina.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sabrina is in the Archie universe.
Yeah.
But thing is, I don't think Sabrina's even going to be airing on CW. I think it's on. I think it's on a sister network.
Is it? We'd have to look into it. But I had the feeling that they were going to do it on CW. But so as of right now, there's no plans for Sabrina crossing over with Riverdale. But also, in my head, depending on where they go with Sabrina, it wouldn't make any sense to cross it over with Riverdale in its current state, because right now Riverdale is very much a, not a whodunit, but a very dark, in my head, it's a dark 90210.
Right.
Right. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with this. She was a librarian, Shelley says. Sabrina.
Okay.
So that makes sense, right?
Oh, no. Shelley was saying her cousin's in Riverdale.
Oh.
And her cousin played the librarian.
Oh. Well, here we are. Shows how much I know.
Yeah, anyways, I can't find it on IMDb.
Well, we'll follow up next week. But there has been many stories about dealing with Sabrina and it's right. How it's going to cross over with Riverdale. Absolutely. So we'll talk about it. But in the meantime, watch Riverdale. It's good.
All right. So tell me about Sony.
Kind of was talking to you right there. Talk to the hand.
I'm catching up. I finished all of Orville.
Don't get all defensive. Orville's amazing.
Amazing.
Right? All right. So Sony Pictures. So there's a chance. Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. So Sony Pictures, the head of Sony Pictures said, if the studio doesn't grow soon, they're going to put themselves up for sale. And this has to do, I think, and what is mentioned in this article is the acquisition, of course, Disney and Fox.
Right.
And the fact that there's going to be less huge, large studios going forward. So that's kind of where this is coming from.
Right.
Thoughts?
I don't like it.
Well, who would buy them either?
Viacom. It's probably the most likely suitor.
Okay.
Ooh,
I like to make suitor
to make a CBS Sony combination.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't. It's just with fewer overall overlords is mm-hmm. the way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You have less competition, right?
So indeed.
So it's. I mean, you're gonna get more good things like the Marvel Universe or Star Wars or something like
right.
that. But you're going to get, I think, less art house movies.
And also, on top of that, are you going to keep getting... I mean, they can continue to sell us whatever they plan to sell us, and there's nowhere else to go to get right. anything well, different.
I mean, for example, I mean, Disney's already pretty much gotten rid of their art house studio, which was Miramax, mm-hmm. right? They got rid of that years ago. I have no idea what their plans are for Fox Searchlight.
True.
And if Sony were to sell, what does that mean to Sony Picture Classics? Those are some of the great theatrical movies of our time.
Yeah.
I don't want to see those type of films go away.
Yeah, and I get Disney's interest in it, Blay. You know, to pick that up, to be done with Spider-Man, to wrap him into Marvel, but I find that we also have to see how this goes
I think
with the government too. Right.
there's I think there's almost no way that the SEC would approve a Sony to Disney deal. But I also don't think it's cost effective because I don't think there's enough that Sony can bring to the table that Disney doesn't already own,
right,
besides Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Whereas Fox, they were getting the Sky Network, which was
they were getting huge, a lot more things than right. Yeah, people thought.
The Sky Network they're getting from Fox is huge into getting them broadcast into India and Europe. And
right.
That's really a large part of the deal. Whereas Sony, maybe their music industry, but they already have Buena Vista.
Yeah, they don't need that necessarily.
Right.
You know what I mean? All right, man. So yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to keep our eye on this because I think if Sony does decide to be like, well, we're not getting growth, so here, buy us for 40, 50 million, billion dollars. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I mean, the amount of money that someone bigger than them can throw at them is worth going out of business for or selling their name for, right? Because, Fox Studios, was that a $56 million deal? Was it million? Billion. Billion dollar deal, billion. Right? Yeah, billion dollar deal. That's a stupid amount of money that most people can't wrap their mind around.
Absolutely. But again, I'm going to take it back to the music portion of it, is that Sony's one of the last five major
record label labels. Imprints. Yeah, that's true.
Whereas Fox didn't have that.
Yeah.
So Sony would be basically sacrificing that up to another overlord, where CBS also has a musical imprint, so they don't really need that from Sony either.
True.
I really don't. It's just Sony doesn't make as much of a fit.
So what you're saying is, who is going to buy them?
Yeah, I think Viacom is the best bet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Microsoft doesn't want to buy them.
No.
You know, they're not going to swallow just to get rid of the PlayStation. I don't know.
That's a good point, Skin. Do they need FCC?
No, not FCC. They would need SEC, the Security and Exchange Commissions, because it would be, even though they are a Japanese company, they do have a lot of American components, and you would have to deal with it's not a communications issue. It would be a monopoly issue.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And that's what people were afraid of with Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel, and all that stuff, too, is the monopoly issue.
Yeah.
And Fox, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing with Disney and Fox is that Disney actually doesn't – the main thing that would come in with the FCC is if you have somebody like Viacom buying – say Viacom were to buy who would be a good example? Comcast.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Okay.
Just because they both own communication networks within the U.S. So a lot of local TV stations, a lot of broadband networking, stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of the infrastructure.
I gotcha.
Instead of content. When you have like Viacom buying Sony or something like that, or Disney buying Fox, you're not having that conflict of interest.
You're just talking about content.
You're talking about content
and
production, okay, which would be a monopoly issue.
Interesting. All right, man. We'll keep our ear on this one, eye on this one.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm not I don't have a business degree. This is just me from just following the industry for 20 years.
I couldn't have any less than a business degree. And honestly, I don't really care either way. I just think it's really interesting that these things are happening, considering how we consume content, how we how people are consuming content is dictating how these companies are functioning, right? I mean, if people aren't going to the movies anymore, you know, then things have to change,
right?
You know, and if people aren't going to watch the major networks anymore, then things have to change, and people have to start shifting towards streaming networks and all this other stuff. So
exactly,
we have to figure out how to get things where people are watching it. How do we get content to customers on their phones? Because that's where most of us are all the time.
Exactly. You know? With most of these major mergers, the big thing for me is that the companies remain diversified, right?
Mm.
Because even though we may know mostly the faces of the networks or faces of the the production or the faces of the companies. Whereas, you know, we think Disney, with Disney, we actually think of theme parks and stuff, but
sure.
We also think of Disney Studios and that sort of thing. When we think Fox, we think of Fox TV or Fox movies and all that stuff. But like I said, with Fox, you get the Sky Network, which is distribution right. overseas. With Viacom, you're getting broadband with, in multi networks. With Comcast, you're getting the broadband. A lot of people forget with Disney, they have like 8 theme parks around the country, not Indeed. To mention cruise lines and stuff. They remain diversified.
Mm-hmm.
If you had somebody like, say, Fox merging with Paramount, where you have a little bit of theme park
presence, little theme park,
but almost everything has to do with content and distribution.
Sure.
It's
all redundant.
It's very redundant. Yeah. And so you're just combining companies that cover the same thing, and you're not diversifying at all.
Exactly. Well, we're going to keep an eye on this. We don't want to bore people with diversification and blah, 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 blah.
All right. Well, let's talk about something fun. So,
is this fun? I'm just kidding. Marvel.
Not for women.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Talking about how...
Oh, I forgot about...
About how oblivious people can be.
I forgot what we were going to talk about.
They've started releasing imagery from the new Ant-Man and the Wasp movie.
Oh, good.
Which...
And all positive? Everything is great? Copacetic?
Just a little side note. Marvel's come out and said that they are officially not calling it Ant-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
In any merchandising or anything. It's Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
But you see, Chris,
which is progressive, which is absolutely. Good. Yeah.
You see, it's actually going to be the first Marvel movie released with a female character in the title.
That's exciting.
Because Captain Marvel isn't out yet.
Right.
Black Widow isn't.
It's barely conceptual. Barely
there. Yeah. Right. But Ant-Man and the Wasp, she's in the title.
Yeah.
All right. So.
This is so
they
bad.
Released images of what her costume looks like, and you can bring it up and show it to him if you like.
Yeah. Give me a sec.
But if you look at her costume and then flip the picture upside down, there's a very, shall we say, phallic image. Scroll down. It's partway down the page. It's a Twitter.
Oh, no, it's fine. It'll be – I got to get
yeah,
this
Yeah, it's a
going.
Twitter post.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay.
Yeah, so everybody take a look at this. It's pretty darn seriously, it's like – It's like the part from Hollywood Babylon. How did this get past so many eyes
right.
and this not seen?
But nobody flips things upside down, right?
You can pretty much see it from right side up, too.
Yeah, you can. Yep.
Her boobs are balls. And the penis is pointing towards yep. her legs.
Pointing right down there. Well, here we are. I'm going to take that down.
Yeah, so... So there's that.
I don't know where we go from this, dude. Are they gonna, I can't imagine them changing the design.
Oh, no, not at this point.
I mean, and unless you flip it upside down, it doesn't, or you know what you're looking for.
It especially when, in still photography, yeah, in the film, it's not going to be as noticeable.
Sure. Anyway.
So, something about Captain America, Russo brothers came out and were talking about how when Civil War came out and Captain America dropped his shield, a lot of people were thinking that he would become the Nomad, which is something that Steve Rogers became in one arc of storyline, whatever.
Right.
But they have basically come out and said that's not where they're going.
Okay.
So there's all this conjecture after Civil War that we might see the Nomad. It's not happening.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with that. That's fine. And Skeen, you're right. Yeah, man. I mean, it is a little picky, I almost said something else. It is a little picky. You can do that with a lot of things. I almost said pricky, but
I mean, it's a dicky, but, anyway. I just think in this,
we're so punny.
We are so punny.
Yeah.
But it's just in this day and age of Me Too and, the black dress thing at the Golden Globes.
But also, dude, in the age of I can capture anything on my screen.
Yes.
Stop it, save it, flip it, move it, manipulate it. I mean, this is going to happen more and more often. So.
Okay, this is totally inappropriate, but we started saying it that way. It made me think of Montel Jordan singing, smack it up, flip it, rub it down. No, no.
Oh, God. Here we go. Okay, Potterverse. You added something new.
Yeah, well, got a little bit of Potterverse news. I'm going to say the first thing is there's a new Harry Potter mobile game coming out called Hogwarts Mystery Game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool. You create your own... young wizard who's going to Hogwarts, and they get sorted into a house, and it's very immersive, evidently. And that's going to be coming out fairly shortly. And
you said it's a mobile game?
Yes.
Okay.
And it looks really, really interesting.
Yeah. So, it looks like, and I didn't realize, I guess we had talked about this, what, a year ago, probably.
Yeah, when Fantastic Beasts
were Fantastic Beasts, I guess there's going to be five movies?
There are.
Okay.
And it basically covers the whole first war between Grindelwald and
Dumbledore.
Thank you.
So,
and if you don't know, Grindelwald is going to be is played by Johnny Depp, and Dumbledore is Jude Law.
Yeah, and I've been inundated with a lot of Harry Potter lately.
Yes, your kids are well into it.
They're well into it, but the thing is, excuse me, it looks like the Fantastic Beasts movies are all going to take place in different cities,
which I think is fantastic because they basically
Fantastic.
The thing is this battle basically is supposed to mirror World War II. That's when it takes place. And if you saw the first Fantastic Beasts movie, it took place in New York. Mm-hmm. I believe this next one takes place in Paris.
They haven't announced the other ones quite yet. Let me open it up. Yeah,
I'm guessing they're going to go to probably someplace in Germany.
Let's see.
Because, you know, just as we saw in the original Harry Potter movies, we saw Beauxbatons was the female school in France. You had Durmstrang, which is the German school that Victor Krum came from.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I'm sure they're going to kind of touch on all those places. Plus, Grindelwald is a very Germanic name.
Sure.
But the interesting thing is I actually saw a different article that talked about how, you know, in the British lexicon, non-magical folk are called Muggles.
Right.
We learned in the first Fantastic Beasts movie that Americans, they call them no-mages.
Oh, interesting.
Or no-magics.
Right.
And in France, they're going to be called non-magique, which is non-magic in French.
Yeah. While Yates wouldn't reveal where the future installments of the franchise will go, there are a lot of World War II allusions in Grindelwald's story, specifically with the prison the character eventually builds being called Neumengard.
Very
sounding German. A lot like German city of Nuremberg. So,
yes.
Yeah, so anyway, so we don't know yet, but you're on the right track, my friend.
Yes, I'm excited for these. Cause
me too. I actually like that film. I like these movies better than the original Harry Potter movies.
Because they're much more adult.
Yeah. And that's,
plus, they're going to be getting darker, just like the original
series. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I appreciate that more.
Yes.
So, anyway.
I think that's it for me.
So we're done?
We're done. About an hour.
Yeah, roughly.
A little bit more.
So should we just awkwardly sit here or should I close out the show?
Well, we always awkwardly sit here. It's just not always on camera.
That's funny. All right. So thanks for tuning in to The Usual Podcast. If you have comments or questions, you can find us at theusualpodcast.com. Email us at theusualpodcast@gmail.com. And we are on all your favorite social media dealies, Facebook, Google Plus, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. Find us on Twitter. Will is at I'm Will Griggs and I am at Darth Pops. Your favorite podcatchers, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, we're on all those. Don't forget, teespring.com/usualpodcast. You can support the show that way. Get some merch, t-shirts and stickers we have up there right now. And, a couple other ways to support the show. We have audibletrial.com/usualpodcast. You get a free audiobook and we get $15.
Yep.
And you can get anything under the sun. Audible is an amazing deal.
It is an amazing deal.
I mean, literally an amazing deal and also amazing thing, right? See what I did there?
Yeah.
There's some awesome books on there. Obviously, you can grab Game of Thrones, Brandon Sanderson, some of our favorite stuff on there and get your money's worth. Get a 50-hour book. Why not? Also, the best way to support the show is patreon.com/usualpodcast. We are hoping in the next month or so to revamp our Patreon page.
Completely. Lots of good stuff coming on.
So if you give us a buck or two an episode, I promise we'll have some amazing stuff coming down in the next couple of months, in the next month or so. So please do that. If you haven't done so already, those of you who are patrons know you get trailer time, which we did at the beginning of the show. You get early access to shows, plus some other goodies, which we'll have a lot more coming down. So thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Listening on all your stuff. And what do you got, my friend? We out of here?
Yeah, just want to make sure everyone has some fun.
Oh my god, have a fun. And we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Try to change it up a little bit.